Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome, my friends. I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. CC Ryder is a cannabis patient in the California Bay Area, a mother, and a housewife who enjoys music and dancing. As a cannabis enthusiast, she is active online and in her community. I have her with me here today to talk about how cannabis has helped her deal with her condition and disability. Welcome, CC, to Cannabis Radio.
Hi, how are you doing, Vivian? Thank you very much. I appreciate the ability to come on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to have you. To start off, if you don't mind, can you share your liver disease diagnosis and other conditions
struggle with?
And how have those conditions impacted your life before cannabis?
Absolutely. So I am 51 years old for now, at least for a couple more months. I was diagnosed in 2019 with stage 4 liver cirrhosis due to alcohol intake and other issues from my past, from a lot of ibuprofen for oral pain. And in doing so, my whole liver just failed. I am now currently on 1/1800th of a liver, and they're not quite sure how I'm up walking around. I just tell everybody, nobody gave me a bell to ring out. I went through some severe ascites. I went to bed. I was 106 pounds. I woke up 158 the next morning. So that really threw my entire body into chaos. And I have neuropathy, and I have degeneration of my lower back and my neck, along with stenosis and arthritis in both as well. So as you can imagine, waking up that large, it did some severe internal damage to some of my organs. I have 10 bands on my esophagus because it ruptured and bled, and my entire bowel tract had to be reformed twice because after my first surgery, nurse made a mistake and popped open a catheter and tore through all the stitching. So I had to wait 2 months in bed before they could reoperate and put in bands. So I have bands in my lower GI tract as well that hold me together pretty much. And so when I came home, I was basically bedridden. My arms were frozen. And for the first 6 months, I couldn't lay down. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't sit. I slept in 15-minute intervals. And I've had severe brain traumatic injuries from when I was younger. And part of that is that I don't have a lot of my memory from growing up. And I also don't have a lot of my emotional memories. And some of the physical memory doesn't work. In other words, my synapses don't complete the firing of the neurons to tell me things like, I'm hungry. So I forget constantly to eat, which is major pain in the butt. Well, coming home from the hospital, they basically sent me home with two garbage bags full of groceries of medications, as you can imagine. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't understand how this is going to work, but okay. And I followed along with the doctor's plans and the orders and everything else. But the more medications they gave me, the worse I felt and the less I could move and the more disabled I became. And I finally just had enough. And I was like, I can't just lay here anymore. And so I got hold of a friend of mine because I had smoked weed in the past and it had always been helpful to me when I had headaches. So I started going back to marijuana. I'm still doing tinctures. I do mocktails. I do flower. I do dabs. I do pens. I do the tabs and edibles as well. So I pretty much have a little system for every, I even have the rubs as well, the tincture rubs. Every last bit of what it can do for me on a medical level, I apply.
Okay.
At any given moment.
Can we just back up a little bit?
Sure.
That whole experience must have been traumatic for you. I mean, waking up and having all these issues and going through all these hardships and stuff. I mean, that must have been very difficult for you.
Well, I got to tell you, waking up an extra 52 pounds overnight is real. I thought for sure I had been in a coma.
Was that edema that was water weight?
Yeah, ascites. And so basically my liver had failed and it was just pushing everything out and my body was filling with fluid. So they had to do what they call I'm suddenly blanking on the words. I would call it tapping the keg because to me, that's what it looked like. My stomach was so big and they'd put a little catheter out and drain it. And you'd like watch it drop down. And it was the craziest thing. I honestly had a lot of fun in the hospital because I had such good staff. And as long as I could keep them laughing, I stayed laughing. So, you know, I could have been in a lot worse situations, honestly. And I think for me, a lot of it was making sure I maintained a positive attitude. And in life, no matter what you're going through, you're always going to be able to find a silver lining to it. It's just sometimes you have to dig a little deeper and sometimes it's a little scuffed and a little bent, but it's there if you look for it. So
were you a mom when this was happening? A mother?
Yes.
That must
and so they actually gave me 5 years of life expectancy. They will not put me on a transplant list because the reality is that by the time they find a donor, it'll be too late.
You're stage four, right?
Correct. And in fact, I was diagnosed stage four. I've actually traveled back to stage three.
How long ago did they give you the 5-year diagnosis?
In 2020.
5 years ago.
The very end of 2019, the beginning of 2020.
Were there specific symptoms or complications that led you to consider cannabis as part of your treatment? I mean, you're from the Bay Area, right? So you probably already knew.
Yeah, I grew up. Yeah, well, I grew up with a lot of military and a lot of hippies and the combination of the two. So
the Bay Area is kind of the birthplace of medical cannabis as a thing, right? So
yeah, I'm not too far from Los Gatos in San Jose. Yeah, I'm like right around the corner from Los Gatos, San Jose, down the street from San Francisco, up a road from Humboldt. So yeah, it's kind of around. And my dad was very pro cannabis and so is my mother. My dad's not with us anymore. He had he passed away in 2012 from brain and lung cancer.
So that's exactly what my father passed away from in my home, brain and lung cancer. So I know how challenging that is. So what happened when I remember you saying that you were on, I think, 28 meds at one point?
Something around that, about that, yeah. And a lot of neuroblockers, and I had nothing but issues with them because, they would make me not be able to feel anything at all, or I would be overstimulated to the point I couldn't touch anything. And it just became more about finding a balance between how I spent my energy, whether I was up and being physical, because I love to dance. I can't not dance. It's just not in my DNA to hold still. I'm already ADD and ADHD, so holding me still is not an option. So you can imagine being in bed for that long. I was going crazy.
Were you already a cannabis user?
I was a light cannabis user before it, but afterwards I was like, yeah, this works better. It just works better. And I actually had started hanging out with a friend of mine next door who was on X and listening to Spaces on X. And my husband was diagnosed a year before last with cancer, throat cancer. And then after he finished that, he ended up being diagnosed again with lip cancer. And he just got his teeth for the first time in a year and a half. He's starting on solid foods. Yay. Wow. And I had him on a small cannabis regimen as well, because he doesn't smoke. He's not since the 80s and the band days.
Right. So when did you, I imagine that you increased your cannabis use as a medical application, right?
And, absolutely.
And when did you do that? And what was the response like?
About a year and a half ago, I started switching over because they had me on gabapentin, and I don't know what you know about gabapentin, but it's basically a broad spectrum.
Neurontin. That's Neurontin. Yeah.
It is. It's the, you could either take Neurontin or you can take gabapentin. You can't take both of them. It's one or the other. I can't take Neurontin. It is all bad when I take it. But I could take the gabapentin. But a lot of the times medical staff will frail to tell you that you need to take potassium with it. And I was getting huge potassium and magnesium dumps in my body, and my body was locking up, and the muscles were pulling in every different direction except for the direction they were supposed to be going, and causing more damage. And I ended up tearing the tissue in my lower back. And it took a year for me to finally tell the doctor what I had, because she couldn't figure it out. And at that point, I had gotten hold of a cannabis rub, and I started using that, and it was kind, and it worked so well. And I had some friends that worked at dispensaries that started bringing me some things over, like, hey, try this, hey, try this, that knew what they were talking about, that, you know, have quite the education in it. And I'm like, all right, all right. And I started looking into different people that were on X and what they were doing and how they were using the products of cannabis and making things that worked for others and listening to what other people said. And I started following little regimens through what I had heard from other people that were going through similar situations or even just similar pains as mine, and have been able to put together just little things that I can use. And I have a lot of family members that also use cannabis for the same reason. Maybe not, it's not necessarily just a liver. You know, we've got family members that have schizophrenia. I've got family members that have PTSD, and we all use cannabis as a medication. I use it to sleep. I use it to wake up. Pretty much everything. It's the second thing I use other than oxygen.
Have you experienced any concerns about how cannabis might affect your liver or interact with other medications? Has that been an issue?
I am no longer on a single one of my hospital medications.
Wow.
And I go in every 6 months for a checkup, and my numbers are actually improving being off all those medications, because they're all just chemical garbage, man-made stuff. And if you look at the medications that are on the shelf today and you backtrack their history, you'll find what plant it comes from. You're way better off finding the plant and using that. And that's another thing I've been doing as well, is more holistic and going straight to the earth for what ails me to find what will heal me.
Right, right. Do you communicate regularly with your liver specialist or healthcare team about your use of cannabis? And if so, how do they respond?
Ironically, so my doctor is military, and she's high ranking. And she, of course, I'm going to get that you shouldn't do that. And then it's, but how's it working? So my hospital knows, they are keeping track, and they're like, if it's working for you, then keep doing what you're doing, because we haven't seen numbers like this. They, like I said, they can't figure out how I'm up and mobile, let alone alive, because I've already exceeded my life expectancy. And as long as I don't see that bell, I won't be ringing out anytime soon. I've got things to do.
Yeah, let's keep you around. Let's keep you around as long as possible.
Yeah, there's lots of songs to dance to. I can't stop yet.
So do you belong to like a medical cannabis community in your area?
Ironically, no. I have in my backyard, I call it my CC Cafe. It's caffeine and cannabis. I basically make tea and coffee for people who stop by and just need a safe place to hang out and smoke. and kick it, and we chill, talk, laugh. And I have a Discord channel for Mystery Horror Theater that I'm one of the co-hosts with for Bongs and Beauties. And we do a show every Friday night on live on Twitter, where we actually sit and watch. Well, if you've ever seen Mystery Theater 3000, it's basically what we do, but with cannabis. And then on Saturdays, we have we do a movie with the audience included. So we all just sit and chat and smoke, and we play games on there as well. I also work doing the calendar for ZAO, which is Z Talent Agency, and that's for music on blockchain and NFT art and crypto. So I keep myself relatively busy, at least mentally.
Good, good. So you said that you use multiple forms of cannabis. There's like flower, tinctures, edibles, vaporizing, topicals. What's your go-to, and what's your go-to as far as delivery methods?
My go-to is usually dabs and flowers. If I'm in like a lot of pain, I tend to hit dabs first and then just use flower for maintenance. But I also have, we have people that we work with online, like Bob the Green Scientist, that we can order canna products from. And we also have a cannabis cooking show on our Discord as well. So we make a lot of edible meals. So I do use a lot of edible products as well. So there's cannabis always in my tea or my coffee, pastries. Because I'm a total pastry junkie. But we also have cannabis infused ingredients, so that way when you're making your meal, if you don't want to make sure that you don't have something too many milligrams or too few, you can custom it to your own taste and vibe, which is nice.
Can you purchase cannabis products, medical cannabis, online at in California?
You can purchase in California online. Now, the thing is that a lot of the problem is that with cannabis crossing state lines, they only allow certain cannabis products, which are, whether it be THCA or Delta 9. And Phoenix, Arizona right now is actually getting rid of Delta 9 as being a product. I just heard this recently, so I was like, oh no, because we have some friends that have a company called High Nine, and they make an energy drink that is cannabis related and hydration and vitamin filled, and it's Delta 9 drink. And now they just signed a contract with them in Arizona and are like, what do you mean you can't take our product?
Delta 9 being, you know, the THC that gets you euphoric intoxication, right?
Right. So we're like, okay. So we do a lot of work with a lot of different cannabis dispensaries and name brands, and shouting out for them and affiliations with them. And then we have our chefs that do cannabis infused products, drinks, edibles. We have flower shops, dab shops, and then we also have product lines as well for bongs or dabs or anything else you're looking for. So we stay pretty active. We also have a lot of shows, whether it be 420 show, most of them are all 420 friendly shows, but we also do events for our ZAO calendar for music and NFTs. We had ZAO Chella that we just did recently. We're prepping up for NFT NYC again this coming next year, and there's another event. I can't think of what the next one is. There are so many on our plate right now. So like I said, we tend to stay pretty busy and pretty active in our community, and host a lot of either 420 events, 510 events, 710 events. And we now have a 1010 event for Happiness Against Humans, which we launched last year for the first event. So God willing and the crick don't rise, we will have a number two this year on 1010. And it's a 24-hour on-air live event. And there's a lot of giveaways. And we do a lot of giveaways because, like I said, we're affiliated with a lot of different strains and corporations or products for different companies online or people that are individuals.
So it's legal to do giveaways, cannabis giveaways in California?
It is. Again, it also depends upon the product.
Right, right. Yeah, we don't have anything like that here in Washington State. It's a big deal. So do you just, when it comes to the medical cannabis that you use to treat or manage your conditions and your symptoms, is there like specific strains that help you? Just indica, sativa? How do you choose the cannabis that you use?
Well, a lot of times I will go by terpenes and the levels, because I don't have a liver. It doesn't affect me the same way it would, say, somebody with a functioning liver.
Because metabolized in your liver, and that's what gets you high.
It just kind of pours over my liver instead of absorbing. So I may get the euphoria, but if I do, it's only for anywhere from like 3 to maybe 10 minutes. Don't get me wrong, I will maintain giggles quite a bit, but that's on a normal basis. Otherwise it just kind of drips down, but the effects of the pain relief, that's what I'm usually going for. And with that, it's usually something higher elevated infused weed. One of my favorites, honestly, is the Stizzy infused pink acai. One, every time I open it, I want to eat it with chopsticks. I really do, because it smells like crunch berries. And I know it's horrible to say, but I also love my strains like Farmer to Felon, because it's got that really earthy tone to it. I also use things like RSO, which I absolutely adore, because that is a huge pain reliever. And I got to say, Rick knew what he was doing when he made that. Bless his heart. There, like I said, each one, it depends on what the level of pain is. And my tolerance for pain is pretty high. So even in the last couple months, my use of cannabis has dropped down because I haven't needed as much pain relief. So instead of just constantly smoking whatnot, I get to like hit my dab 2 or 3 times, because I'm a slow burn dab person. I don't get it really hot and then suck up the hit, because that'll kill me. I have bands in my throat and I'm not trying to break them. So I will slow heat and nurse it. And once that's done, I will just maintain a couple of puffs off my bong or my joint for the rest of the day and be golden and be able to walk around my house and get in over 10,000 steps a day.
Wow. You mentioned RSO. I just want to say that Rick Simpson has been on this show, actually.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
I owe him a huge apology, by the way, for calling him Rick Scott for I don't know how many months. I was so wrong on his name. I'm so sorry, sir. I know you don't know me, but I apologize for being an ass.
No, he was on the show, I think it was 10 years ago, and I think he was in Ukraine at the time. But you mentioned you provide a space at your home for others in your community to imbibe cannabis medicinally and recreationally. Can you talk more about that? What do you call that again?
I call it my CC Cafe.
And what is that like? Describe it to us.
So I have an outdoor patio that's got a little gazebo, couches in here and tables, and all my smoking gear. People will come by with their own smoking gear, their own bud, whatever. I have some. I'm always willing to share what I have. People come and bring me some things. People come and get some things. Everybody, it's just a big family here. Some of my neighbors, some of my friends around the neighborhood, some from out of state will come by, and it's been really cool. And we also have like the living dead room in our Discord, or the demonic diner that we hang in, because again, it's a horror theater. And we'll all sit around in there and talk and smoke and laugh and collaborate and work. And what a lot of people don't realize is like, we'll go in there and we have a tendency. I don't know if you know what body doubling is.
I'm not sure the context.
So body doubling is basically for people who are neurospicy like I am. I have ADD, ADHD. I can't hold still. But if I see somebody else working, I tend to sit there still and start to mimic what they're doing, and I get into my own flow. So we'll body double in there so we can get our stuff done for the day.
Wow, that's wild.
And so it's kind of like a college dorm room, which is kind of nice because I miss college. So
nice. So you involved in any cannabis activism in your region?
Not as of yet, but I am looking to figure out just where I fit in. I mean, especially since I'm not that far from San Francisco and not that far from San Jose. And we have a lot of things coming up on the docket that, you know, really need to be reevaluated and relooked at. And I really enjoyed the conversation that we had on here yesterday, about, you know, we, this country was founded on hemp, and it really should go back to that for our economy, because you were absolutely dead right. When there are so many resources that hemp alone could combat that nobody is even considering.
Yeah, we're not even scratching the surface of all the myriad applications that cannabis hemp can help our economy, help mitigate climate change, replace a lot of building materials and other things. And you're talking about that we were both on Weed Wednesdays, Jeff Eichen's weekly podcast yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm the managing editor of Skunk Magazine, and so we're always writing about events, cannabis events. And I think that I think that California in general has more cannabis events than maybe anywhere in the country.
Oh yeah.
Do you attend regional cannabis events?
I do sometimes. I haven't been able to much. I don't get away from my house very much.
I understand.
I'm up. I'm mobile, but traveling is a different story. Although I did just do a huge travel for me. I was 35 hours on the road a couple weekends ago. To and from Arizona and Lodi for a weekend.
So
Lodi, I'm too old for that.
We only have about 4 minutes left. What advice would you have for somebody that was recently diagnosed with liver disease?
Honestly, I would sit down with your doctor and have a conversation, an open, honest conversation about marijuana and where you should start. Not only should you start by talking with your doctor, but if you go down to a lot of our local cannabis dispensaries, they actually do know what they're talking about. Do your research, find out exactly what tinctures match with not just your personalities, but any other issues you have. If you tend to be paranoid, you want to stay away from certain tinctures like lemon tincture, because they will cause you to be more paranoid. You want to lean towards something that's more of a cherry base. You really do want to get into the research behind what the terpenes do, what the strand does, where the strand comes from. Be careful of the heavy metals. Be careful of the pesticides. Find out who your grower is. Get to know the grow. Seriously. And if you can get behind planting, please do. I have a Chiba pet, and I need to get some new seeds. We've got growers on our show as well in different parts of the country. And watching that alone is some therapy. Let me tell you, I will sit a good 20 minutes to an hour just watching a plant grow online. I don't care. It's beautiful. I really will. I have friends that send me videos of them smoking out their plants while they're talking to them as they're growing. I'm like, this is the best channel I've ever seen. That thing's going to have more conversations with you after it's picked. That's going to be amazing. But yeah, there's so much. Get to know it on a very personal level, because it's going to personally become a huge part of you if you do that. And it, you know, when you show that plant its respect, it will show your body that respect as well. And you need to be symbiotic with it. So finding out who you are and what your needs are and what helps for you is your best bet. And, you know, the more information you get, the better you always are.
Cece, I know that you've been through a lot of suffering and a lot of ordeal with your disease. You seem to have a remarkably good attitude despite all of that.
Like I said, there's always a silver lining somewhere. You just got to look for it. today I get to share my story, and hopefully somebody will hear it and go, wow, like maybe I can do that. You know what? It's not necessary. I have this rule. I can't take it serious, if I can't laugh at it, I can't take it serious. And if I don't laugh at it, I'm too tired to cry. Let's be real.
Those are important words. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, you've got to find your joy in life.
We got about a minute left. We have about a minute left in like 30 seconds. What final thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with?
Make peace with yourself and with a plant. It's way nicer.
Very, very wisely spoken words. Well, thank you so much for being on Hemp Present and telling us about your health journey and all your experiences. You know, you're quite a remarkable person to be able to navigate all that and still be figuratively on your feet, man. So much love to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I just wanted to say, I wish I'd gotten a little more time with you. I'm going to send you a picture because I found the most marvelous picture of you yesterday. Oh, and it made me smile. And it was from 1988.
I've had a lot of looks over the years.
It was this wonderful leather jacket.
Oh, yes. Yes. Hand-painted by Larry Steiner, I imagine.
I'll have to send you a picture of the one I have hanging in my yard right now.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you so much. Much love to you, CC, and you stay
too.
Strong.
Have a blessed day. You
All
too.
Right. All right. The Hemp Present intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand, and the outro music is Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush. See you next time. Play the tune.
Marijuana!
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.